Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to the A&N After Show, powered by Anime NYC. We're here to talk about the latest episode of Attack on Titan. I'm Lindsay Loveridge, the executive editor at Anime News Network. This is Jackie Jing, our A&N video lead, and this is James Speckett, our AOT expert and reviewer over at Anime News Network. And we're going to talk about episode 71, Guides, right? That's the title? Yeah, Guides. Yeah. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about a couple headlines, so get you up to date with some of the latest news out of Anime News Network, all extremely important, especially this latest one that deals with cake. Everyone here likes cake?
It's the most important food.
It is, like, the most important food group. And Great British Bake Off, I have a real soft spot for it. Mostly, like, I watch it and then I really crave warm sourdough bread, and then I never have any and it's like torture, and then I just watch another episode. But we had a season 8 finalist created this lapica cake.
It looks really good.
It looks rad. Yeah. You can see he did like these really intricate carvings in the sides of it, like with the doors and everything. And that tree there, I mean, it might as well be broccoli. Like, it looks like a real plant.
I was going to say, it looks beautiful. Vegetal.
Yeah. So the baker here is Stephen Carter Bailey. I want to give him a shout out before we talk a little bit more about it. But Stephen Carter Bailey, so he was a finalist for season 8. And he also won the New Year's British Bake Off for 2019, and he's made some really, really amazing stuff. But this one, I was just kind of blown away by it.
Yeah, our comments are like, I want that cake. Life is nothing without cake. Life I second that. Yeah. But the cakes that are that beautiful, I don't want to eat them.
Yeah, because like, it's like, I can't into like a them. Sculpture. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I'm like, that's so pretty. I don't want to eat it. But props, dude. Like, I would never be able to make a cake like that, let alone, I can't even make a Funfetti cupcake. So, like, props to that dude.
Jackie, that comes in a box. You just have to add the eggs and oil.
Girl, I, like, somehow find ways to burn things in the microwave. So just, oh, no. I'm not blessed in that department at all whatsoever.
I went to school with a guy once that confessed that he like, ruined, Kraft Easy Mac, which, if you're not familiar with it, is just like a cup that you just pour water in and put it in the microwave. And he forgot the water. Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. Mine blows up. Like, I'll be like, dang it, I overdid it or something. But forgetting the water, dude, like, come on now.
Yeah. Like, I think I am an amateur baker. I feel like if anything comes out good, it's mostly by pure luck. So, like, I tried to make a Harry Potter cake once. It wasn't, like, themed, but it was flavored. It was supposed to be flavored like butter beer.
Ooh, yeah.
And it required, like, a lot of molasses. And it turned out really, really good, but I don't know how I did it. Like, every time this happens, I was like, I don't know how I did this.
That sounds amazing. Even if you did that by mistake, I'd be like, hell yeah, props to me. I've definitely never created anything that tastes good. So
yeah, mine will taste good, but it won't look pretty. Like, I don't know how to do any of those decorating techniques, or, you know, where they make like the frosting look really nice or anything. I take a butter knife, I put it in the Pillsbury tub, and then I spread it on there and we're good. Like,
for that show, the British Bake Off, like, how much is presentation? Like, is that a third, or like, is it, how big of a part is it?
Because it's a pretty big part.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never watched
that. Good, I'm good. Like, I don't care how it looks. It's good, I'm good. And I feel like so many things look good, but then how does it taste? So I wondered what the grading system was for that. But
I think they did. I mean, I think they give more points for flavor ultimately, because that is like the most important part. But if it looks like trash, like, that's embarrassing, and you don't want to.
Yeah.
If you're a contestant on the Great British Bake Off.
Lindsay, I've never seen the Great British Bake Off, but my wife and I have watched a lot of Nailed It on Netflix.
Oh, that one's fun too.
Yeah, decoration looks hard, but to your point, Jackie, I feel like a lot of those cakes, I feel like the interior probably tastes great, but all that fondant probably tastes awful.
That was actually a stipulation for my wedding cake. I'm going to sound really snobby here, but I was like, I don't want any fondant on it. Please use like actual cream cheese frosting or buttercream frosting. Like
that's what we did. We did that one.
Because it's kind of like a clay, you know, it's
texture and taste better be good. I don't think you're being a snob about that at all. Like that's got to be top priority for sure. Also, today's a very special day.
It's the first day of March.
No.
Oh, it's someone's birthday. It's someone's
birthday today.
Happy birthday, Chun-Li.
Yo, my girl.
Yes. I don't know about y'all, but like Chun-Li had like a huge impact on my youth. Like, obviously, like Street Fighter Alpha was probably one of the most played games in my household. And, you know, for me as like an Asian American woman, like I was like, whoa, like here's an Asian American woman who's like kind of like a main character. You know what I mean? So like she holds like a super special place in my heart. But she's 53, but she doesn't
miss a three. She never misses leg day.
No, not, maybe that's the secret. Maybe like every day of leg day you don't miss is an extra day you get.
Does that mean I have to do squats?
I think so.
It's the thunder kick, Lindsay. Once you master the thunder kick, you're fine. You will look like how you do now at 53. So that's what we need to do. We'll somehow learn it.
Yeah.
I forgot what that combo even was. But anyway, I was just like, we got to talk about Chun-Li. Yeah.
So. Chun-Li, like, as you were saying, I was one of those kids that if I had a fighting game, I always played the female player. Always, except for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was always Raphael for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, come on. But for everything else,
really?
He's the best turtle. What are you talking about?
Wait, which one did you say? I think you said you were
Raphael, the red one with the
Raphael. Oh, girl, yeah. I'm an Aries. Of course, you and I were picking Raphael. Yes. I thought you said Rockabilly, like the
the rhino
with the mohawk. Yeah. And I was like, why though? But I get Raphael. I don't know why I matured that.
But yeah, if we played Turtles in Time or anything like that, I was always Raphael. But for Street Fighter, yes, I was always Chun-Li. And I always thought she was so cool because she was like, because she was buff, but also like she had amazing kicks. And like you could do like that flying spinning one, like all the way across the screen and stuff. She was a badass.
Is Chun-Li the archetypal step on me character? Like, is she the queen of that entire demographic?
Pretty much. I mean, she
could definitely do it. She'd break her spine.
I was gonna say it'd be fatal. It'd be the last time it ever happens. But
I think that's part of the allure.
I think so.
There is a big obsession with her thighs. Like, I mean, I played sand volleyball, so like I always like had a big appreciation of her thighs. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, like, and like Lindsay said, like when we were growing up, I mean, I love Sailor Moon, but like all those girls are like rail thin. You know what I mean? So when you saw like Chun-Li out there, you were just like, oh my god, like she's like athletic and super cool. Also, did y'all ever see the anime movie, the Street Fighter anime movie? It is one of the, I love that movie. Okay, so it's like, it's Jackie to a T. It's all action. They're playing like metal music and Chun-Li faces off against Vega. Do you guys remember Vega? He was a really good looking guy. And
he had like a mask.
Yeah, he like comes in. Actually, low-key, really creepy. She's like taking a shower and he like sneaks into her place, but then she metal music's playing and she kicks his ass in. And then she does her like thunder kick or like her like crazy like triple kick where she's like upside down and she's just grinding his face. And you know how he was super vain, you know, like he's really vain about his look. So like not only does she just like kick his ass, but she just like takes away like the one thing he's like so like precious about. So honestly, it's probably one of my favorite fights of all time, like anime-wise. Seriously, you guys should Google it. Like, because it's playing this 90s metal music. It's like, it's just ridiculous.
I got to confess, I remember that fight because as a young child who just discovered the local library's extensive DVD collection and the fact that they didn't really pay any attention to like what was in the anime. They just kind of assumed it was all fine. When I was a kid and I discovered that Chun-Li had that shower scene, fight scene with Vega, it was one of my immediate checkouts that I passed around to all of my friends at school. The movie's good too. It's a great movie.
I gripped my gut for that. That's so funny.
James is like, I actually remember that movie fondly, Jackie. Now
you remember it. It's like you said, it was formative. It was a formative experience.
Formative for both of us in completely different ways. For me, I was like, yeah, stand up to the man. Like, you can kick his ass. And James is here like, Chun-Li's hot as fuck. Sorry. Yeah, we get one, right? We got one.
Yeah, so we each get one. Before I have to mark like explicit in iTunes.
I know. Sorry. I kind of cut it off. Y'all, audience couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, right? I don't know what the rule is for partial.
Did you all see that article? Yeah. I couldn't tell if it was a joke. I can't remember which site it was posted. Maybe it was Jezebel, but it was when the Mortal Kombat trailer dropped.
I saw that.
Yes.
It wasn't a joke, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Why isn't Chun-Li going to be in the Mortal Kombat movie?
It had to be a joke. There is no way.
That's not a satire site. It's not
a satire Oh my God. Site, if that wasn't a joke, that's just, someone got fired.
They don't look alike at all, but I mean, are they mixing up Chun-Li and Sonya or
Katana? No,
Katana yeah, I was
no, because there were pictures of Chun-Li in the article, like, you know, screen caps from Street Fighter. it was very confusing.
Lord, that's bad. Had to be a mistake, or like it had to be a joke. That had to
if
be
if it was, it wasn't like it wasn't very well executed. Like, they added like an edit at the end that was like, we've been informed that the reason Chun-Li is not going to be in it is because she's from a different franchise.
I just see that crap on my birthday.
Edit in it,
April Fool's Day and everything, but like,
That's a big boo boo. Even when I was growing up playing, like. I like both of them. Like, obviously, I love Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. Both of those games are like completely badass. And again, like Lindsay just seeing like Mortal Kombat had so many great female characters. Like, so I love both of them.
I like Jade.
Oh my God. I mean, Katana, I dressed up for her for last Halloween. Like, I was walking around West Hollywood, just 6'5", like Katana. My friend dressed up as Jade, Lindsay. So that's so funny.
Nice.
Jade. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a big thing in LA to go to like this neighborhood and everyone's like in costume and everything. And so like everybody was just screaming. And I was surprised that they remembered it because the game is so old now, you know.
But their designs are iconic. Yeah,
exactly. We did the old school, you know, when they were all in the same turtleneck kind of unitard.
It was like color swaps.
Like they had the same exact character, because back then like the animation was like, you know what I mean, like they were just like, we're just gonna change the color
on this and call it good.
But that is really bad if that was not a joke. I didn't know. I thought it was a joke, James. Like, I thought maybe it was.
It was like very odd.
The benefit of it being a joke, but
I see no benefit. But that's bad. Anyway, Chun-Li, happy birthday. We love you.
Yeah, for real. And then like the last big piece of news thing that dropped is that Attack on Titan, My Hero Academia, got a new trailer for the upcoming season. It premieres at the end of this month. And I'm super stoked because they got the Peggies to perform a theme song for it. And for people who aren't familiar with the Peggies, they did the ending song for Sarah's On My, which like was stuck in my head for like 3 months. It's so good. So good. So if you don't know the Peggies, like go look them up. They're a great band. But what are you guys most hyped about for the trailer?
Right? The Peggies? I said the Peggies are pretty big, aren't they?
I don't know as far as like album sales or anything like that, but they did a Boruto theme and they did one for Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai. They had a song in there. And then there was one in Rent a Girlfriend. They did the opening for
Girlfriend. That's like a big one. Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely heard of the name before. So I thought the opening song was good. I thought the trailer, it got me hyped and excited. You know what I mean? Like, so it did what it's supposed to. I like Class 1B. I actually just coincidentally was watching the arc with them. Like, I think it was the beginning of season 2 or somewhere around there. And I was just like, oh, they're so cute. And we already knew they were coming from past teasers, but I was just like, okay, like I'm excited to see them and just see what they do with them. So those were
that's a show I need to catch up on. Every time I see a new advertisement for it, I'm reminded of how much I like it. But there's just so much of it to catch up on. It's one of those things that's gotten a little intimidating, but I know I'm going to do it eventually because it's just so good.
Where are you, James?
Gosh, I think where I left off, the what's his name, the Yoda looking guy had just shown up.
the little
teacher man.
It's All Might's
teacher.
Gran Torino. Gran Torino. I was like, why can't I have his name?
I don't associate him with Yoda at all. Like, I was trying to think of someone who's
James. I just remembered him jumping around and being weird. Yeah, and he's really small, like, in comparison. James, I thought season 3 was, like, one of the, like, best anime, like, seasons I've ever seen. Like, I really like season 3. Season 4, I thought that the first part was epic, and I get a lot of arguments with people over what was better, season 3 or season 4, but the second half of season 4 is, like, you know, it's filler and stuff like that, so it was kind of, I don't know what Lindsay thinks. Like, I thought season 3 was off the chain, so, like, James, you haven't even hit, like, the good parts yet, in my opinion.
What people keep telling me.
Real good.
That's what everyone tells me.
Yeah. And
I'm excited for, like, the upcoming season a lot. I need to recap on it, like, the last season, I think, before it premieres, just to kind of refresh, because a lot of things are kind of mixed up in my head. But it's, like, the order that things happened in and where people are and how they left off. So I've got to go revisit, but still kind of excited to see. So I know some of the future stuff that happens in the manga that it probably won't get to yet. I won't spoil it here, but I'm excited to see that in the anime adaptation eventually, so. There's a lot of cool stuff coming up to look forward to, for sure.
Nice. I think that's what our next show is going to be.
Probably.
I mean,
lot of really good stuff coming up next season.
Is there?
It's loaded.
Yeah. If you guys want to, like, see what's coming up next season, we're going to have a watch-along trailer stream. We do it every season, and we'll have one coming up in about 2 weeks. We haven't confirmed the date of it yet, but I'll definitely tell you guys here when the date of it is. But how that rolls is it'll be me and Jackie and a third person, and we'll watch every single trailer for each show for the entire season, and usually that ends up being like 30 plus trailers, so it's a real fast way to, like, see what everything that's coming out real quick and kind of have a quick take on, you know, what to write down, what you plan to watch, what you don't. So
honestly, if you are a true otaku, I love our watch party, because it's like, there's so many trailers dropping at random points, and there's so many shows that, like, I'll just miss, and then someone will be like, oh, didn't you see that trailer? And I'm like, no, I didn't even, like, hear about this show. So, like, our team works really hard to get, like, everything together all in one place. You watch it, we're, like, having a fun time, like, you know, we're having very candid reactions to some very absurd stuff sometimes, you know what I mean? So, like, it's a riot. Like, I'm excited for it. Like, so, like, check it out. We're gonna be dropping info on it soon. Also, this is exciting, everybody. We got a sponsor for our podcast. So bear with me, y'all. I got, like, a minute long script here that I need to, like, read with my newscaster voice. So really quickly, we want to thank our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair that you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it also protects sellers with a verified return process. Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection.
Nailed it.
Yay. Yeah. But this is super exciting. You know, I think it's great. We launched the show. What is this, our third episode, fourth episode? Like, we just have, like, a couple under our belt. Guys, we have more than 50 viewers right now. So
that's a good increase too. Wow. Yeah. Hey, everybody.
So we're
first time viewers, you know.
Yeah.
Here.
So yeah. I'm proud of us. But obviously, like, everybody's here because obviously they want to talk about Attack on Titan. And man, this has just been a wild season. Like, all three of us have been saying that repeatedly. But before we get into that, just some show rules here, okay? The after show rules. So one, we will talk about spoilers from the most recent episode. Make sure you're aware of that. Two, we will not talk about manga spoilers for future episodes. Three, do not post manga spoilers in the chat. And I think some people were saying some stuff dropped in the manga that was, like, pretty heavy hitting. So please don't ruin it. Yeah. Nobody likes people who ruin stuff. Like, don't I did it to Lindsay today.
Okay, we're still friends.
James, Lindsay calls me and I don't even let her say, like, hi, hello or anything. I'm like, oh my God, when that dude got blown out the window and then, like, the whole revolution, like, she literally didn't even say hello. And then she was like, Jackie, I haven't seen the episode yet. And I was like,
it was like, time out. Okay, so I'm gonna watch it right after this call.
I was like,
Aaron's revolution, and I was like, oh.
So Jackie, you're the person that's walking out of the movie theater at, like, after Star Wars premieres, and you're just like, oh my, like, right past concession stands.
Exactly.
Can you believe, like, that
Kylo Ren shot Han Solo? Sorry for everyone who hasn't watched that by now, but it's a couple years old. So
there's, like, a little kid cosplaying as Han Solo with tears in his eyes, like.
I am that girl, and, like, the next group is waiting to go in and they're like, please don't say spoilers, don't say anything, and I'm just screaming. Yeah, that was me. So anyways, Lindsay forgave me, but I literally was, like, dead silent. I was like,
I'm sorry.
Oh man. But yeah, so not that was a big spoiler. That was there. Oh, okay, so James, I was talking to you before the show started. I was bored the first half of this episode, like, Jackie style. Like, I was like, God damn it. We knew,
like, intrigue.
I know exactly. Like, they're explaining a lot of stuff. I'm not a fan. But then, of course, I literally looked right at the halfway mark. That guy gets blown up, the premiere. Here's the image.
Thank you, Anime NYC.
He gets exploded real good.
Exactly. Yeah. We see half a corpse go flying out of the window, like, through the sky like this. And then the most haunting part was when the body hit the ground and it was, like, not even, like, a thud. It was, like, this awful sound. I literally was like, I had to rewind it.
A sack full of spaghetti.
No. Oh, my gosh.
It gives you an exact sound.
That really, I don't know how else you would describe it. But then I was like, oh, okay, now it's about to get real. And then the rest of the pacing the show was, like, crazy after that. So for the 65 people watching now, James, can you please let them know, like, just recap them on kind of, like, everything that happened really quickly, or, like, the big points you think?
Yeah. Well, I know you said the first half was a little boring, but I'm not going to lie. I was pretty excited because we got to see Hitch again. And I love Hitch. She was teasing Armin for getting all getting a little too close to crystallized Annie there.
Yeah,
and that was fun. I liked that a lot. Fun fact: this is a true bit of breaking Attack on Titan behind the scenes news. Hajime Isayama is kind of infamous for naming and designing characters after, like, real world, like, historical figures. Dot Pixis is very infamously based off of the Japanese general whose name escapes me at the moment, but it's very easily Googleable. I've seen a lot of things saying that Erwin is named after or designed after a very famous German general. And of course, you know, half the cast is named after battleships. But did you know, and this is a true fact, that Hitch is actually named after the romantic comedy starring Will Smith and Kevin James about the matchmaker Hitch, who
James, I cannot right now.
No, I was listening to the intensely last episode, but you had to work in a Will Smith reference.
I mean, what is a podcast without a good Will Smith reference? No,
my gosh.
So Hitch is back, and. The story, I think, basically reintroduces her to fill out some of the ranks of the original scouts who are not in on all of the explosion-based chaos that is to come, because you have all of the recruits that are basically siding with Eren and the people that are in favor of the new Eldian Empire. And then we have Dot Pixis, speaking of which, who is not interrogating. He's kind of having like a tea time chat with Yelena about whatever went down between her and Aaron, because she does admit that she went to see Aaron in the days leading up to his jaunt over to Marley. And she confesses essentially that, yeah, no, we convinced him to work with Zeke and to follow Zeke's plan in order to, you know, to get him to wreak vengeance on Marley like we've always wanted.
Okay, I have
a
question.
And Doc Pixis has a very interesting reaction to that, which...
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did Hitch used to have a different hairstyle? Because people are making...
It was a little bit different before.
Okay, because people are making references about like a hair straightener and stuff. And I'm like, what? I didn't even remember that. So her hair's changed a little bit?
Yeah, just like the texture, I think, a little
Okay.
I mean, I think part of it is MAPPA going back, like going a little closer to this the style of the manga compared to Wit.
Sorry. They're all crushing on Hitch. So everyone's like, Hitch kind of cute right now. So I'm like,
yeah. Okay. Hey, Hitch kind of cute. but yeah, I mean, I think every character has had a bit of a hairstyle change. You know, Mikasa got her hair cut short. Armin. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you're right. Everyone's kind of changed up a little bit. Aaron's got a man bun.
Oh, it's yeah. Like,
this is a little late to that trend, though. Like, kind of that trend.
Yeah, Aaron's looking like he's fresh out of his like second year poli sci course and about to play some guitar in the quad. But all of his songs are going to be about genocide. It's going to be super awkward. God. But
I cannot. Okay, that's probably my favorite moment of the show right now, so I'm just going to take note, James. James, what is with your, like, where does this stuff come out of your brain? Like, I'm just, like, when he was talking about the ending for Attack on Titan and literally, like, just described the end of Evangelion, and the whole time I was just like, this is genius. I love James.
It is my useless skill.
not useless.
Honestly,
Before we get into the heavier stuff, I did want to say, because you brought up Hitch and Armin checking out Annie, and I just wanted to say that Hitch accuses Armin of crushing on Annie, and he does not deny it.
Oh, he blushes. So, he's got a whole blush.
And then he just sort of like changes the topic, and I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, this
is like a Sleeping Beauty type situation, you know? Like, she's
That's completely...
Yeah, a little weird.
Well, and as some people in the comments have pointed out, it has been a little while since I've seen the first season, like 7 years. So forgive me if I'm forgetting like some big scene. But was there ever anything like back when Annie wasn't a rock? Did Armin like have like a thing for her, or was there? Did he ever have like an unrequited?
I don't really remember.
I was wondering that too. Yeah, because
I know like there was sort of like a big thing about trying to win her over a little bit, as far because she was very cold. She was always like pretty standoffish.
Yeah.
And I think I don't remember if she kind of warmed up a little and then the betrayal happened or what.
Yeah, I don't know. Feel free to remind us in the comments if we're forgetting like a big shipper scene between the two. But But no, I think you're right that like they're building that up, because I think it's pointed that he's going to her like anyway to kind of like work out all of the inner turmoil he has over how to deal with Aaron and how to solve this conflict without resorting to bloodshed. And that little joke about him having a crush on her, I think, is definitely, you know, planting seeds for future developments, I would imagine.
Yeah. So there was a lot of other seeds planted in this episode. I mean, so we, you know, showed the corpse, but we didn't really give context for that. So the body that's flying through the window there is the premier who, the last moments of Zachary, I forget what his last name is. His name is Zachary.
Zachary is his last name. He's Darius Zachary.
Darius Zachary?
Okay. Yeah, he sounds like a Mortal Kombat villain.
Yeah, he does. So what happens is there is a lot of there's factioning happening within within the Paradis Eldians. The Eldians outside of the military have sort of picked Aaron as this figurehead for justice for them. And they've started to cling on to the idea of the new Eldian Empire. And that phrasing is really important, because there's a difference between an empire and a republic. Or democracy. An empire is imperialist in nature, typically. So it's the idea that they're starting to rally behind the idea of Eldian supremacy. At least that's the way that I'm interpreting it, is that, and they see Eren as the figurehead to lead that, because they agree with what he did in Marley as far as like destroying the capital and all of that. So, and they've been pushing, I always screw up their name, Hanji. Yeah. They're pushing Hanji for clarification, for answers, but they're not being transparent. Hanji isn't being transparent, and the Eldian Republic, is that what they're actually trying to establish?
I think so. Yeah, someone in the chat, someone last week mentioned that in the manga, there's even a specific line in that last episode where Hanji insists that it's like the Eldian Republic.
Right, yeah. And that wasn't actually in the episode itself, but it is in the manga. So Hanji is not being upfront about about how they're going to handle the Marleyan threat, which is causing disruption among the people who want to see more concise action immediately. And they picked Eren to be that person. And that has spread within the military and administration itself as well. So, I mean, Eren's been in jail, even though it's been established that he could leave whenever he wanted to, and no one would be able to stop him because of his Titan powers. But so that's sort of building up in the background. We have until it finally explodes, and we basically find out that there is spies. I don't know if you call them dissidents within. Yeah, dissidents.
Insurrectionists, I guess.
Insurrectionists, the Eldian Republic that want this Eldian Empire. They plan to free Eren. And Yelena had at least something to do with that. And in that, she met with Eren prior to him going over to Marley to supposedly like plant the seed in his head. But I mean, she claims that that's as much as she did and that it wasn't really deliberate. And then Dot Pixis tells her to tell him everything they talked about, seemingly with the motive of lying probably to the rest of the military and the administration. So in my mind, Dot Pixis has picked a side, which is the Yeagerists. And when shit hits the fan, he argues that they should actually defer to Eren in order to keep the peace so that they don't start cannibalizing each other and fighting. So he's like, hey, we should surrender to Eren. And you can tell everyone hates that idea. They're like, hey, let's not do that. He just like killed a bunch of us. You know, they just like blew up headquarters by putting a bomb chair. I don't know why.
Well, it was specifically the poop chair, I guess. I don't know what our language level is at for that one. But yeah, it's the poop chair. Do you guys remember that from season 3?
No.
Oh yeah, that was like Zachary's whole bit was when it was when they were doing the coup against the king or the fake king. Zachary was one of the ones that was helping the previous insurrectionists overthrow the king and have the military coup d'etat. And at one point Zachary like kidnapped this official guy who I'm pretty sure didn't even have like a name. He was just some random official, but he tied him to that chair, that specific chair that gets pointed out before his office blows up. And the chair has a tube that gets shoved into its victim's butt, and then they have to eat their own feces. And Zachary was just like super jazzed about the whole thing. He was loving it. He was loving inflicting it on that official in order to get whatever information they needed about their coup. So
muted. I'm sorry, I was muted. Then they were going to connect him to that chair, and he would have to be naked, and they would parade him around the city in that chair.
Who was paraded?
He was just some guy. Yeah, he was just some.
He was some guy. It had to be season 3. And I'm not gonna lie, when that went down, I was like, okay, Attack on Titan, this is just weird. Like it was excessive. Like I was like, I know y'all are weird, but like that chair was extremely excessive and strange.
Yeah, it was like it stood out because like the show is really boring. But It was like a Made in Abyss moment where it was like,
I must have blacked it out. I must have like literally blacked out when it showed up and then like.
I don't blame you.
So for that to be the thing that ends up being, you know, leading to his demise.
I was wondering why Armin and Mikasa, when they were in the office right before it blew up, they like looked at it and I was like, why are they having a reaction to that particular chair? It looked like a torture device of some kind, but I didn't like know there was like feces involved. But I was like, oh, are they insinuating that he's got, because I think he had just talked about Aaron, like how he wasn't going to let them talk to Aaron.
Yeah.
And they see the chair. And I thought the implication there was, he's going to put Aaron in that torture chair.
Yeah. Yeah. They know how Zachary does. they know.
They were like, okay. Oh, so, Lord. Zachary's gone. I don't know. Yeah. That poop chair was some weird attack. Yeah, that was one of the moments in the show is like, do I want to watch this? Do I want to continue watching this? I'm not going to lie. That was a moment for me. Like, I was like, I don't know about that one. There it is.
Thanks, Anime NYC.
Oh God!
Oh, look at this. Really sucks though.
I want to unsee this. I don't want it.
That's how you know he's a bourgeois. Is this the frilly socks?
Is the frilly socks?
Yeah.
So they Armin and Mikasa leave.
On that note,
Armin and Mikasa leave the office with Zachary insisting they can't talk to Aaron to try and talk him out of stuff. And right before it blows up, they see three folks heading that way, and I took note of what was on their jackets because, you know, that's how they define the different part. And they were all, if I saw it correctly, they were all military police. They all had the unicorns on the back. And so then I was like, Lindsay wants to do some sleuthing. Who's, you know, who do we know that are in the military police that we've been introduced to so far? And one is Dot Pixis, right? Is military police. And one is Hitch. She is also military police. And then I don't know about Flock, who I
think he's a scout recruit. He's one of the three scout recruits that got in trouble last week for leaking the information about Aaron.
But they haven't actually shown him on screen.
No, they have.
Oh, they have.
Did he also get like a new haircut?
He got a new haircut.
Old haircut was really distinctive. It reminded me of a rooster. Like he had red hair and then he kind of had this thing like it looked like a giant cowlick in the middle of his head.
So
I looked up his name after watching the episode. I was like, oh, okay, I remember that guy. He's the cowardly dude from like Irwin's Last Stand.
Flock was on the he was on the airship when Sasha died. And he was toasting to the Empire.
He was before that. They were on a roof and he had like some conversation with Jean. And I was like, oh my God, I remember him. But I was like, he got an emo haircut. He looks like Justin Bieber now because he's got like like comb over, you know?
Yeah.
I guess Flock's not a recruit anymore. That's right, because he was already there with the battle of Shiganshina where Irwin died. But the other three were recruits.
Yeah.
And he was kind of leading them.
He's definitely, we've seen him like a couple times now, but it's been very brief and Lindsay, his hair did change. So like I at first was like, is that kid who was like whiny all the time? You know, he was like, always like, I'm too scared. Right. I was like, oh my God. But now he's the complete opposite and he's like extreme. And actually someone, I think Felisa was saying in chat, like she was like, I don't like him. He scares me because he's too extreme. Cause now he's like the other way. Like he was, you know, when obviously like Aaron killed children and tons of people and like it was a massacre. It was like awful. And I think someone was having a reaction. Maybe it was Connie. I just remember. And then they showed Floke and Floke was like, no, they deserve this. They deserve all of this. It was like very random, but he just like showed up saying that. Yes. Oh,
okay. Yeah. He's been hardcore just pushing the nationalist pro-military. Yeah.
He fell into a rabbit hole on YouTube and now he's never coming back out.
Well, it kind of makes sense, right? Because the people that the citizens that were kind of pressing up against the gates of the military offices and talk about a loaded image, especially in 2021.
Oh God, I was going to break into that after we kind of got into the details of it, but like some part of this episode definitely gave me like flashbacks to January. Like it was like that, especially when they had Dot Pixis come in and he's like, yeah, they did a bunch of bad stuff, but we have to keep the peace inside. So we should just, I was like, holy shit.
I know.
This was written like way before this happened. So I know it's not deliberate commentary.
Yeah.
But holy crap. Like,
I know. But no, but they were all their slogan, the the give your heart slogan. That was, if I'm remembering right, that was Irwin's kind of battle cry. That was like his, that was kind of his motto, was to give your hearts to parodies and to the cause. And
so now it's become a rallying cry for extremists. That's
crazy. Yeah. Well, and Flock was there, right, when Irwin, when they did that suicide charge. And so it you can kind of see how there's this kind of cult, not cult, but this militaristic extremist fervor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, extremist.
The revolution, as I told them.
Yeah. I was like, there's a revolution. And Aaron is heading up the whole thing. So, I mean, Aaron still kind of remains a puzzle to me in that, we don't exactly know everything that went on with Yelena, and we don't exactly know everything that went on between him and Zeke. And so it's really hard for me, to kind of get a gauge on where he's at, emotionally and ideologically at this point. It does seem like next episode I'm going to finally get my Levi content, because they're going to the forest where they've been keeping Zeke the whole time. Yeah. And, they made note at the end, after this happened, they're like, okay, who knows where Zeke is and who knows where Historia is, because they need both of them, right? And so Historia's pregnant, in this safe house
out in the countryside,
in the countryside. And then they also brought up Nicola's restaurant as a thing as what, not Nicola, Nicolo, Nicola, yeah. Nicola, Nick, I'm calling him Nick now. So they, they gave him a restaurant to run, and they're talking about how they've also placed these Marleyans in particular positions that might also end up being advantageous to the rebels as well, and the situation with the volunteers. So the volunteers are all from other countries, as I understand it, right? It's like Yelena, and I wrote his name down this time.
I wrote that down too. Yeah,
I'm assuming there's more of more volunteers than just those two that came over to assist them. But then they were talking about how, well, if Yelena ends up being considered a threat or a liability, that they could also end up rounding all of them up too.
Because Hanji pointed out when they were discussing with Onyakompon about the basically about how the volunteer unit got started, and how he and Yelena and the others basically performed assassinations and other acts of subterfuge to kind of push Zeke's agenda into to sabotage Marley. And Hanji made a point of referencing how strange it was in retrospect that Yelena pushed so hard for the Marleyan rights, for the Marleyan POWs to be able to get jobs and to be able to have work in service positions. And
right. Given that she hates them. She actually hates them. Yeah.
I don't know. It could be that Nicolo and all them are actually kind of working with the volunteer unit. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of the implication, that Yelena had placed them all there very strategically so that they could, coordinate some kind of plan.
So but, are they always poisoning folks? So
yeah, what's happening? What's going to happen? Who's going to get poisoned?
I told you it'd be important. I was focusing so much on the poisoning a couple episodes ago, and they're like, Lindsay wants to know who's going to get poisoned, and now it's important.
Yeah, I mean, the restaurant, I was like, okay, obviously someone's going to get poisoned, but what are you guys thinking is going to happen? What is that foreshadowing?
Well,
no idea.
I mean, he's Marleyan.
Yeah.
Nicolo's Marleyan, but he has built allegiances or with Eldians.
Yeah.
Via Sasha. We do know that Gabby and Falco are on their way there with Sasha's parents and the other adopted children. They're all going to that restaurant. And the thought was initially that since it was a Marleyan restaurant, maybe he could help Gabby and Falco get back to Marley. So there's a lot of things that could happen depending on how Nicolo feels that day or where his allegiance is really at. If he's going against his Marleyan heritage, he's decided that the Marleyans were ultimately wrong. Now that he's lived among the Eldians for so long, maybe he'll kill Gabby and Falco. But then on the other hand, is the previous people that, But the previous people he was poisoning were Eldian officers who were bad-mouthing Marlians. At least that's what it was implied when he showed the wine. So I really
Did he actually poison them, or was he just like
Or just being spooky. I don't know.
So Felisa put, I'm hella confused about the wine. I thought Niccolo was on the Eldian side. So I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I was like, but I mean, Lindsay, you said too, like, we don't really know what the hell he's going to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, is he going to potentially poison Gabby and Falco? Like, yikes.
But then would he be poisoning like the whole Brouse family? Because that's like Sasha's family.
And I want to think that they won't do
children.
That. Yeah, because a bunch of
they're kids.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I was like, what does this restaurant scene mean? You know what I mean? So, like, I guess, I mean, I wanted to say it can't get that dark, but I mean, we're talking about Attack on Titan.
We just showed the poop chair, so now I'm not really sure anymore.
Oh, don't show the
there it is chair again.
Anymore. I hate that image. I literally, like, that made me almost unwatch the show. Like, I was like, okay, Attack on Titan, like, let's reel it in a little bit here. Basically, I just want to make sure we have everything ironed out with, like, where we are in this, like, revolution or what's going on there. So, like, Aaron is out, thanks to, like, this little coup d'etat of essentially, like, scout recruits and some scouts, essentially, right? Am I on the right page still?
Yeah.
And they're going to try to find Historia and Zeke. And basically, is it Pyxis, Commander Pyxis? He was like, we need to get to Zeke before Aaron does and be like, yo, we're on your side. Like, we're here with y'all, you know, which people are a little bit iffy about. By the way, everybody, it was like the most exaggerated, like shaking and sweating. Like everybody, everybody was like, do you remember that? Like it showed like eight.
Yeah.
It showed like 12 people. And I was like, obviously some people are not happy here with what you said. Like, I think they're making it pretty obvious here. Anyway, that's a side note. But okay, so they're going to try to get to Zeke first and just be like, hey, we're like on the same team essentially. And then Peck. Peck. I don't know. Is it Peek?
Peek.
Okay. Like, what the effing hell? Like, what is she doing there? What's going to happen with her?
She's over there because, I was going to say Erwin. It's not Erwin. It's Reiner, because Reiner and her and Cart Titan. No.
Porco.
Yes. Porco, yeah. Because they all talked about how, and they decided that they weren't going to wait. They were going to invade now because it would catch Zeke off guard. So she's there. Possibly with others, but at least, you know, but she's there to initiate that. So she's on Paradis right now. Yeah.
Okay. So are all of them there, or is it just Peek?
We don't know yet. I mean, that was almost like a stinger at that point. They're like, by the way, she's here. And that was like the end of the episode. So.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So what are we thinking is going to happen here? Like, I like, what are we thinking? I mean, I don't know. That draw, honestly, I mean, I said this at the beginning of our chat. I thought it was so boring. And then the second half of that episode, it was just moving like a mile a minute for me. You know what I mean? And I was just like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, it was wild. So I hope that all of the other Titans are there. And we're about to see another like giant clash. That would be kind of dope.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really don't know. Like, I mean, at this point, why would they stay? Like, why would they stay in Marley? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's strike while the iron's hot, like strike while there's confusion. Like, so I do like, I'm hoping the whole squad's there and they're ready to get revenge. And man, I hope they are pissed. And I'm saying this and I sound like I'm on their team. I don't even know whose team I'm on anymore. Like, I'm like cheering for all of them. And then I'm like Lindsay too. Like, I don't know how I feel about Aaron. Like, I'm like,
he's on my bad list right now. Like, you know,
I mean, you know, empires are bad. You know, there's like a reason that that's like the shorthand for villainous, you know, evil nations in every fantasy story of the last 100 years.
Empire. Yeah.
So if he's like pro empire, or if he's even like helping the pro empire people, it's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't tell where Aaron's headspace is right now, but regardless, what the people he's aligning himself with, as far as like this 100 odd scouts and Flock or Flake, however it's pronounced, and their intention of restoring the Eldian Empire. Like, as soon as they said restoring the Eldian Empire, it's like, nope, not on board for this. Not in any way on board. So is that Flock now? Is that what his hair looks like?
Yeah, that's Flock.
It's so generic now.
It's like an archer haircut. It's
kind
Justin Bieber haircut. Like a,
Justin Bieber haircut is pretty, 100 Justin pretty Bieber. On pretty on point. I mean, like, Aaron might have a man bun, but I can't stand by while he
that is a man bun.
Imperialist.
Oh, so absolutely.
Tell me that is not a man bun. Come on, it is so amazing. Yeah, that's 100 a man bun. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, he had his little like modeling moment where like he's like putting on his jacket and they're like,
I'm pretty sure what was going through his head was, God damn, I look good in this jacket. I think that's exactly what was going through his head.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, no, I'm not down with what him and his little like faction are selling right now. So I'm team Hanji. I'm team Hanji 100%.
Yes.
I completely understand their like overwhelming feeling of like this crap, because I feel like from their perspective, they're watching like a ship sink and they're trying really hard to like, they've got a bucket and they're like trying to like get the water out. And people are like, hey, why is your ship sinking? And they're like, shut up. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to focus here. And then like a fire starts in the engine room and it's just screwed. So, you know, I'm definitely like, I'm definitely team Hanji. I am highly suspect of Aaron and what he's doing. You know, I want to hear what Zeke has to say.
Yes.
And I think we're going to get that in the next episode for sure, because it looks like just from the episode preview that and the name of the episode is called The Children of the Forest, I think, which is where Levi and Zeke are right now. They're in like some forest. He like left him up in the woods to chill. So I kind of want to get a sense of like what Zeke's end game is, because that might give us more insight of what Aaron's ultimate goal is. But as for where he is right now, it's no from me.
Yeah. Lindsay, you already guessed what the ending is, so like we don't even need to guess what Aaron's doing. Like I've mentioned Felisa a few times. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know why, but she's writing some really good comments. But she was saying that she doesn't believe that like Aaron is trying to become a dictator. I think that maybe he's just like trying, he just wants to get rid of the Titans, man. He wants to it's like, I'm sorry, I'm 100% on Lindsay's fan fiction or whatever the hell we want to call it. But I kind of feel like that's how it's going to go. I think that he's just, I don't even think he cares about who's the victims, like how it's going to play out, who's going to get power. He's just like, I want to get all the Titans and I just want to get rid of them, like by
you think, like restore the Eldians to what would be considered like a human life. Whoa, I just hit my mic. a human where they don't have to deal with these powers and they don't have to be the target of fear and such, because they have 100%. Them like getting rid of the powers altogether, like getting rid of. 100%. I mean, I that would even the playing field, I suppose, and it would eliminate a lot of the problems, like as far as like Eldians interacting with other nations and things like that, if this like thing didn't exist anymore.
100%. That's exactly what I think. I think that he doesn't care who gets power. If there's an empire, what happens? Like, he's just like, get rid of this power that is like humans shouldn't have control over at all. You know what I mean? I don't even think he's thinking that far ahead. You know, and honestly, I like what you were saying about Hanji. Like, she's just like, can we all just slow down and take a breath here? And no, and it's just all happening like this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and she's just like, you know, she goes to Aaron. She's like, dude, I'm your friend. Like, literally the most emotional maturity we've seen from any character, like in the entire series. Like, she's like, hey, like, you're in jail right now. You killed a bunch of people. Like, I'm trying to just, like, hear you out. And then
talking to yourself in the mirror like a weirdo.
Yes.
Like,
what are you doing? Yes. Like, it's like Hanji. I'm totally team Hanji. But it's just like it's like you said, she's just trying to keep this thing afloat. And it's just like all hell's breaking loose. But I mean, like, it's hard for me to even say, like, how I feel about Aaron, how I feel about Zeke or anything. Cause it's, I'm kind of like in Hanji spot. Like, I'm just like, can we all just take a breath and, yeah, and like, we're all on the same team, right? Like, we're all just trying to figure it out. Like, we all just want to be happy, but like, I don't know. It's just all going.
I think what you're saying makes sense though, just in that, like, about him wanting to get rid of all the powers, because the last time we saw him kind of get upset about something is when they had that meeting and they were talking about how the powers will have to continually be passed on and they have to breed a whole bunch. And he got really upset about the idea of breeding them like cattle. Yeah. So I think that does tie into at least some of his beliefs. And I don't know, maybe like part of his moroseness is finding out that he is related to Titans and they killed his mom and did all this destruction, and he knows that he could be one. Well, he is one because he has these powers now, but it's that he always could have been one, I think. Yeah. But still I don't know, because I even if that's his end goal, right now he's teaming up essentially with
extremists. Yes. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I mean, like, that makes me question him too, because I'm like, low in my gut, I'm like, Aaron's not about like this empire. I don't know. Again, I could be totally wrong. And then he ends up being like Darth Vader. I don't know. But like, you know what I mean? It's like in my gut, I feel like he's just, first of all, it was interesting, Lindsay, you just touched on this briefly. I think he has a lot of self-loathing. I think he really hates himself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's actually like a huge touch on just like where his mental state is. You know what I mean? Like, I just think like, he's in a really dark, bad place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I mean, we'll only see how that all plays out. But like, I just feel like at this point, he doesn't even care who he's teaming up with. He's just like, get me out of here and let me get my goal done. Like, you know what I mean? But it is kind of, but then you see who he's siding with and you're just kind of like, okay. So
yeah.
James, what do you think, James?
I mean,
what's
happening
in Aaron's head?
I think like you all were saying, we really need to know what it is that Zeke told him that convinced mm-hmm. him to completely turn on his friends and to turn on, you know, the country that he served and to turn on, you know, what we would assume are his values and his beliefs. And I agree with you, Lindsay, that he very clearly is still motivated with what I'm sure he believes are like the best interests of his people, or at the very least what he thinks is like the morally or the ideally correct end goal. But I think until we know like what like information or what big revelation that Zeke dropped on him in order to get him to turn, it's going to be really hard for us to say whether or not. I think a part of the show is always going to be that I don't want to make definitive statements. I don't know how they could argue that his actions have been justified, because I think so many of the characters have gone out of their way to point out why they haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the show has like completely disengaged from him as like a sympathetic protagonist. I think it's just doing that thing where there's going to be some big reveal where we're meant to go, oh, this is why he did what he did. And I do think that it will eventually be that he's not pro empire as much as he is pro, you know, like you said, getting rid of the Titans. But the real question is going to be, can we still accept him as our, as a hero or even an anti-hero, given everything that he's done?
Yeah. It starts to become like, where do you draw your line as? Like, it should at the, like, the best kind of fiction is going to get you to think about your own moral standing and where you're at and evaluate that. And so Aaron can be a litmus test for that in a way. So you have a character who obviously has a complicated mental state, who, you know, he lives in a world where monsters are real, where people are subjugated, and there's these complicated political inner workings. But if you start taking the pieces separately and looking at them and then put the whole picture together, you kind of have to come to that conclusion of, like you said, whether he's a sympathetic character, whether he's still a hero and anti-hero, or do the ends justify the means? And I think they don't.
Yeah.
But that's coming from my, you know, my own personal standpoint of what's happened in the show so far, the information that I currently have, and then my personal stances that make me be able to live with myself. And that's something I said when we first started doing this podcast, and something that the show constantly makes you think about is, do the ends justify the means? What choices can you make that you would be able to live with? And I wouldn't be able to live with the choices that Aaron has made. So for me, I'm interested to see where the story goes, but I'm not particularly supportive of him right now.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come in next week or in 2 weeks and I'll be like, all right, okay, now that I have all this background information, da 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 da. But as for right now, like, Aaron's on my shit list.
He's on the bad list for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that like y'all said, we just gotta see what happens. Like, I think that's like the toughest part is that like we grew up with all these kiddos. You know, and Aaron was the protagonist, and we've seen a lot of development. Like, he has grown up a lot, but he's done some like incredibly questionable things in this season. Like, things that I was just like, yo, like, I'm supposed to love you because I've been watching this show for years. And like, why am I like suddenly feeling myself turning on you? You know? So I don't know. I'm like in the same boat as Lindsay. I'm like, maybe there is something that's going to happen that's going to redeem him. But like, definitely, I think what's just been so shocking is that like, I find myself falling in love with and connecting with characters that I used to be like, oh God, you're so evil, I hate you. Like, I am not like Reiner. Like, I was like, you are like manipulative, and you trick these people, and you pretended to be their friends, and you treat Berthold like a second class citizen. And I love Berthold. He's just this innocent, sweet boy, and you just boss him around all the time. Like, I did not like Reiner at all. And then like this final season, like, I've just been like, this is just, I mean, a completely different story. Like, I should do a video on like why I love Reiner essentially. But yeah, anyways, it's like 7:06 right now, but yeah, I'm like, y'all, this has been so much fun. Like, I absolutely adore Lindsay and James, obviously. But, like, I just want to say, like, thank y'all. Like, this show, it's, again, just 4 episodes, and we have had roughly 70 people watching the entire time. So, like, thank you so much for everybody watching. Thank you to everyone behind the scenes, too. We got, like, a whole team behind the scenes keeping everything straight. But for all those people watching, please, if you don't already, subscribe to our YouTube page. Make sure you follow us on social media. We're on every single platform. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're thinking about launching a TikTok. I'm going to get Lindsay doing TikTok dances in maid outfits. And
this I need to see.
It's happening. Exactly. So, and she won't hit her mic. Like, we're going to work on
it. No, I'll hit the mic. Like, I'm clumsy AF. Like, and dancing on TikTok is, I mean, watch it for the humor, because I'm going to land on my ass. That's just what's going to happen.
Only I've if you have those kitties in the background, though. Otherwise, you cannot make a TikTok. But, like, if as long as that kitty blanket's in the background, I'm here for it. But, yeah, like, again, thank you for everyone for showing up. And please make sure you just follow us on all the different social media platforms. So,
for real, yeah.
That's my 2 cents.
And remember, everyone.
Oh, yeah, and oh, okay. Well, I still have a final comment. I have a final comment on Attack on Titan, though. I just want to reaffirm before we go that in the end, what I really, really hope for is freedom for the Eldians. I just don't want to see them become the oppressors. So here's hoping that that can happen somehow, and that Attack on Titan will deliver. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back again next Monday. Same exact time, same exact place. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.